Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now, could you say that we could give a nickname to Joe of Joe King Lannister? Because he paid his debt.
Lannister always pays his debt.
Am I right? Am I right? There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. She's a mother that mixed up bunny. Feral. That's a feral's for ya. Feral's. Don't mess with the feral's. The feral's. They're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Mike Latouris.
This is the third episode called Couch Potatoes. I'll have to edit the intro. So what, you know, any thoughts, guys, like just straight off the bat with this episode?
First of all, I'm glad that I watched the right episode because I was worried that someone had might have named it the third one on YouTube.
Yeah,
because
it was hard to find.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Through legit,
really?
sorry,
what?
YouTube,
I just searched
sorry.
For it. It was like the first thing you search, you get into the habit, you got to search for S01 E03 and it's like the first hit.
Yeah, that's,
sorry,
that's
YouTube. I meant completely legitimate means that don't exist.
Of course.
Oh yeah. Well, the DVDs which we have
streaming it on
that were never produced.
Netflix 2 that has it on it. I wonder why it's not on any streaming service. Like, you think you could just whack it on iView or something like that? But I don't know. Maybe there's copyright issues.
That's because,
you know why? Because no one listens to it. No one watches that shit. We're like the only three people on this entire planet that are watching that right now.
They're waiting to release Feral Flicks.
Exactly. Yeah, dedicated streaming platform.
Monetize that
Ferals.
Shit.
It's a sequel to Feral TV. See, they were ahead of their time.
That's true.
It's funny because all of us three would subscribe, so that would have...
Plus one of our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. There would be four more subscribers than what Stan would have. And
exactly.
Actually, by the time this episode airs, that might not even exist. People might not even know what I'm talking about.
Melissa, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
And after watching this episode, I have to admit, like, I can understand there'll be only four people total watching this show. I didn't think this was a very good episode. I don't know about you guys.
This episode
that was pretty shit.
Was... the worst yet.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible, but if this was the very first episode, you wouldn't want to watch anymore.
Yeah, no. I know the show gets better.
I think that kind of applies for every episode for
no,
most people.
No.
The first episode was good.
The first episode was good. The second had its moments, but the third was just boring.
Good. Why did you guys only give it like a 6 if it was good?
Well, we're tough markers, man.
Okay. 6 is a good. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah,
normal distribution, baby.
Yes. Not this 8 equals hate stuff.
Oh, I know. I hate how people rate things. Everything's an 8 or a 9. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you should see Swinney's Metacritic reviews. It's all 8s. It's
that's
like
only
a
because
thousand
he
reviews.
Only gets the good games. You know, there's billions of games out there, so still probably fits the normal distribution.
That's true.
All right,
that's
so
his
like,
normal distribution.
We've got an episode of TV to critique here. Come on, let's go.
That's right.
So the episode opens up with, you know, more lessons for kids, where Leonard makes a $200 bet with Joe and Robbie that they can't go. Well, they all three can't go without watching TV. You know, more great life lessons for the kiddies out there. You know, when you're just casually having conversations with people, why don't you add money to the equation and bet and, you know, have stipulations.
Now, like we did with a certain other thing that may have been in a Seinfeld episode when we were kids.
Well, I actually thought that.
Wait, sorry. You know, kids, you have to clarify when you were in high school in year 11.
Like 13?
Year 11 12? Is very different than kids when you're talking about
that thing
in a Seinfeld episode. You've got to make 16. That clear. Thank you. I was not a part of it. Thank you very much.
If you step back for a second...
This That's because you only discovered the joys when you were like 21. Sorry, go on.
Wow. We're keeping to the keep it non-explicit type of tag, aren't
we? I didn't swear. Not a single swear word. That's what I was told not to do. I didn't do it.
Like the Ferals, you know. It's sort of adult themes masquerading as general discussion.
Exactly.
So yeah, the whole premise of the entire episode, and it's a single plot line episode, isn't it? There's no even real subplots going on.
It's pretty straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Unlike John.
It's all about a bet. Which actually, when I was watching it, I was actually thinking about the Seinfeld episode. And I'm like, maybe, you know, Larry David was watching this episode, you know, got especially sent over from Australia to the States.
I reckon, because we mentioned
this could
Larry
be the formulation
David before.
Of the greatest episode of TV ever.
Quite possibly, yeah. Because even the other episodes, the way they're strung together, I thought, wait a minute, Larry David.
Exactly.
Now, just a quick note on their bet. There is no way at all that students would bet $200 on something like this. $200
not back then, like
for students. Now, Joe, apparently, if we remember from the first episode, although they haven't really mentioned it since, he's a promoter. We don't see him promoting anything, but it's fair enough he would have $200. There's
he
no way
himself a lot.
There's no way at all that they would bet $200. It'd be like a $20 bet max.
Well, I mean,
what's that in today's money? Like $1,000?
Wow, I'm working it out now. Well, I mean, put it in this context. I made a bet on the weekend. This was before watching this episode, and it was for $50. I lost a bet, unfortunately. It was a stupid.
Was
Lance
it football
Armstrong
related?
Bet.
Where?
No, Lance Armstrong. I said that he turned his pedals over 180 times a minute, and it's more like 110,
okay.
120. Anyway.
Sorry.
But you surely would have weaseled your way out of it, right? Because, I mean, you've been watching The Ferals, so you know how to weasel your way out of everything.
Well, yeah.
So I'm guessing you didn't actually pay the $50, right?
Well, you know, I will.
I was going to say, I'm actually surprised you admitted that you were wrong on that one.
I know. I'm learning. I'm growing.
So,
like
you know, Sacha Baron Cohen in was it The Demon Barber of Fleet Street? That's right.
Well, yeah. So, like, this guy is an investment banker. I'm in between jobs right now, so I'm, like, very wealthy. But I made a $50.
You're in between jobs. Another way of saying you're a bum.
And he was kind of like pushing for maybe $100 bet, but that was kind of like where it was at, right? So
isn't that a bit unfair? They're an investment banker versus an unemployed guy.
Hey,
making
in between jobs.
Well, the fact that he won the bet shows there's a reason why he has a job and you don't.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
I was
and the fact
say
that
him,
the economy collapsed in 2008 is also a good indication of the fact that. Anyway.
Well, I was going to use the line. I did think of it. So I'll be honest. I did think maybe I'm going to say you wouldn't take $50 off an unemployed person, would you? But I didn't. You know, I held back. It was hard.
Ooh.
But anyway, he was wanting about $100. I was wanting $50. I was really confident that I was right. Like very,
See,
very
if,
confident. And I still if went
you
to 50.
Said, if you said... while wearing glasses, you wouldn't take $50 off an unemployed person. See, it would have worked.
Yeah, true.
Probably. So $50, $100, it was around that. That's what most people bet. Like even today, like a lot of people would just bet $20, right? So just putting it into the trusty, and I've done this twice now, the RBA inflation calculator, it would be about $350 in today's money.
Yeah, no one would do that.
That's
Come
crazy.
On. No one would do that.
Especially
That's
for a kid's TV totally show. Crazy. All you have to say in the TV show is...
It's like $1 million.
$20 or something like, as you said, way out of the proportion. But it's just really odd. It shows that the people writing this show, they're not thinking for kids. They're thinking for adults. Because for adults watching a show, $50 is like, yeah, whatever. But $200, we're like, whoa, that's some serious cash.
My and God, $200 back. $2 was amazing. Like, remember when you used to walk down the street and you used to find 20 cents on the floor and that was like the greatest day ever?
Yeah, that's right. I remember walking to the fish and chip shop with my uncle and cousin and there was $50. Like 50, so it was two 20s and a 10 on the floor. And my uncle grabbed it. Of course, he didn't go find the person who dropped it. He's just like, put it in his pocket. And then he gave each of us, I think, $20 each. And he pocketed the 10. So it was a pretty good uncle. Taught a lesson there.
Wait. I think I've got it now. Share it. Is your uncle Radis P. Radis?
Professor.
Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense. Professor Radis P. Radis.
I swear I've seen the Professor Radis P. Radis somewhere around the place. And that was the one payoff in this episode, that it was mentioned at one point in the episode. I thought that was funny. But yeah, like back in the day, $200, that was like a Super Nintendo. Because that was around the time when the Super Nintendo was out. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's betting that kind of money?
About a PlayStation now?
I think I got like $5 a month or something back then in pocket money. Like, $200 bet? Like, it's insane. And these are ABC writers and producers and stuff. They're not on massive money. Like, even for them, $200 would have been a lot of money.
They would have been paid peanuts back then, yeah.
I know. They probably got, like, $200 for the whole series, these actors. Anyway, it was crazy.
They're probably doing it for the experience. Just
a really quick tangent. You guys know that ad that was used in those videos, the parting ad, where they go, you wouldn't steal a handbag, you wouldn't steal a car.
I think I know what you're going to say. You should say it.
That was pirated, yeah.
Yeah,
the ad itself was pirated.
Misused.
I love that.
Yeah, it wasn't...
Let's go with misused, yeah.
Yeah, that's super funny.
You know, whatever they come back with, whatever Sony comes back with as an excuse, that's the excuse people should start using.
Oh, look, you know, the thing is, like, with, you know, pirating and stuff, it's wrong. Like, but it's, you know, they're just trying to make it feel more extreme than it is. But there's a huge difference. Like, if you're face-to-face with someone and there's a crime there, like, that you're breaking huge, you know, psychological and societal barriers. So, it's really not the same. Like, you look at Australia's case, and you got mom and dad's pirating stuff, like downloading Breaking Bad or, you know, the latest show that's not getting broadcast over here until, like, a year or two from now. So, anyway, that's a bit of a diversion.
Tangent. Let's go back to the episode.
Yeah, Ferrell. So, yeah,
talk about their dodgy dealings.
They make this bear.
The Ferrells? The Ferrells.
But... So I guess like what one thing that came from it was the Ferrells couldn't watch TV either, so they just went to the tip and found the TV and brought it back to the shed. I'm like,
now
there's a working TV at the tip.
A working TV,
zero
I
chance.
Know.
Did you
What's
see
the chance of that happening today?
Did you see Radis's move when he was getting out of the way of the TV?
No, I didn't see that. Damn.
They dropped the TV and Radis's. He goes to move and he almost does like a barrel roll.
He does a barrel roll.
And I just imagine... Yeah,
well, they had some action characters in that, didn't they, later on? We'll get to it with a certain other character.
I'm not even knowing
what
you're talking
about.
We'll
get there, clearly.
We'll get there.
I have no idea
like
what you're talking about.
All right. Well,
I know,
whatever,
neither
we'll
do
talk
I.
about it later.
Anyway.
I saw the little, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod joke. The fact that Mixie, the rabbit, they were using her ears for the antenna for the TV, i.e. bunny ears, is like a colloquial term for the antennas. So I thought
that was
like,
pretty funny, actually.
A bit
I like
of,
that part.
It's not a ha-ha kind of funny, but it's like, oh, yes, that amused me.
But the part where they, I think it was just before that, where they go, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Oh,
he's
trying
to talk to him. I thought that was a pretty funny expression. I like that.
I'm
using it.
Just before that, Leonard, you know when he brings in the alarm to put on the TV to figure out whether or not it's, you know, they're going to use the TV?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know what kind of alarm he was talking about, but as soon as he said, what's that? And I was expecting him to say, it's a digital something.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, and I was so disappointed when he said it's an alarm. I was like,
just a normal everyday alarm. Oh.
Leonard, you're losing your touch. What are you doing?
It just shows that they were dialing in this episode. When he brought out the device, I was like, my mouth was watering. I was like, he's going to call this the digital TV alarmification, but don't press this button. And it, what crap was that? It's an alarm. I'm like, oh, I'm so disappointed. But yet again, he's got another device. Another device that is essential.
I'm sensing
for the plot
a pattern
line.
Here.
I know. God.
That's 3 out of 3. So.
So yeah, Joe and Robbie, they're struggling to keep the bear, and then there's this montage, this crazy montage of the feral. I think they're just trying to progress through, you know, the fact that there's 4 days in the bear, and they want to kind of get to the last day of the bear or near the last day. So there's this crazy montage of the ferals watching TV almost not even 24 hours straight. It's like 3 days in a row?
For like 2 consecutive days or something.
It was such an odd sequence. Like there's a part where they're watching and the chair falls over. And it's like, what? And then it just moves on to them watching TV again. It's just... up to this point, I feel that they've done weird kind of slapstick well. But this episode, they kind of missed the mark, I think.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of... At one point in this episode, I was like, wow, there's 27 episodes to go. That's where I was kind of going with it.
In that sequence, there is one part on... Worst. Yeah, there is one part I like, though, which is when they're watching that, some drama, and then they're all crying, and then Radis is like, no, no, he's just screaming, like, wailing. I like that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was funny, because they were setting it up that he wasn't even emotional, because at the start, it was like, he wasn't reacting, so it was like everyone was crying apart from him, and then he exploded, so, yeah, I had a chuckle over that. That was pretty funny.
About the part where they're dicking around trying to get the aerial to work? Remember those days?
What?
Having to like sticky tape the aerial to the window, having to like hold it for half the show because otherwise it wouldn't work properly.
Well, yeah, now you can't do anything with digital TV. You've just got to sit there and put up with it.
Pretty much,
yeah, it works
yeah.
or it doesn't.
Well, now, the funny thing is now people bitch about 4K. 4K is not high enough. I need like 20 extra monitors.
But I reckon, like, the modern-day equivalent, like, if I was trying to explain it to a younger cousin or something, I'd just say it's, like, mobile phone reception. That's what TV reception was like. Because in my apartment, I have to be in a specific part of a room to make it work, or else I can't receive calls, which is kind of good because I'm very private, you know, so private that we're doing a podcast. But
yeah, exactly, and you streaked the other week.
Yeah, I leave my phone... like, in that part of the room, and when I hear it ring, then I can either answer it on my computer or go, you know, pick it up, which is crazy. But that's what, like, TV reception was like. And it was, like, paranoia, man. Like, am I positioned in the right place? Like, if I move, then it suddenly gets a bit worse. And it's probably just a coincidence. So then I used to watch the TV in a certain spot, and I wouldn't want to move, you know, for fear that the reception would drop out. I don't know if you guys were as crazy as I was.
No, I was. I remember my tiny little 32-centimeter TV or 34-centimeter, which really, by today's standards, I think is smaller than a laptop screen. And having to sticky tape the aerial to the wall and then get coat hangers to attach to the rest of the aerial to have like 3 or 4 in the room.
I would love to see a laptop screen that's bigger than 32 inches in the eye. I think you've got your measurements a bit off.
No,
he said centimeters.
No, 34 centimeters.
Centimeters.
Oh, I thought he said inches. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. All right.
Oh, that's a correction. Yes, yeah, on the record. That's going to be in the show notes.
Yep. Well, I just reversed it, so I'm all good.
You got to be like the ABC. Publish your name, your qualifications, your address. So
and
then
quit
there
your
can
job.
Be follow up letters sent to you.
No surrender, so no anyway? Regrets.
And then you get
that's
to go to Media
inches,
Watch.
13 inches that TV was.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, 13 inches is the size of my laptop. And that's probably an average sort of laptop screen.
Sorry, I'm so glad you said laptop. I was expecting you to say something else. I'm so happy you said laptop. There's a part where, you know, Robbie, just after she starts, you know, like getting the twitches from withdrawals from the TV, yeah, she's looking at the TV. And she just snaps at Leonard. She just goes off with him.
Exactly what happens. It wasn't. That's intentional. I mean, think about what happens to an addict of any sort when they go through withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah, but
they
this is really a kids' snappy. TV show.
Yeah, but it's. I think we've established it's not exactly really only a kids' TV show.
But the thing
it's
is,
very adult in its nature, and that's exactly what happens.
It's
in
not
real life.
Like he's getting any action. He doesn't have to put up with this. It's not like he's got something good on the horizon.
Do you not know the psychology of these friend zone guys? They will put up with so much crap. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
They're the punching bag.
That's why he is so calm
bag.
And collected for pretty much the entire episode, unlike the other two.
Exactly.
Who also happened to suffer not only from withdrawals from TV, but sexual frustration as well on top of that.
Yeah.
It's really a shitty situation to be in.
On that note, the car scene, my God.
Yeah, the car scene
was
so weird.
The tension was,
it nearly destroyed
my TV.
It was like a setup for, you know, an award-winning pornographic masterpiece or something.
I thought he had his arm around Ron Jeremy to pop out of the back seat.
What's up?
Because that's what I'm sure he's known for, going what's up.
So to set the scene, that like they're all struggling to not watch TV, apart from... By the way, is Leonard in this bet to not watch TV? He is, isn't he?
Yeah. Because
he seems to not care about watching TV. Okay. So it's just Joe and Rosie.
He's portrayed as the normal person in this show.
Yeah. He's definitely the normal person.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Because in the car scene, so Joe's in the car and he's bought a portable TV to watch in the car so that Leonard doesn't see him. And then Robbie rocks up and she's also got a portable TV. So they're like, oh, let's watch the portable TV together. And by the way, did it look like Joe had his arm around Robbie at one point? It did to me. It looked really weird.
It was a really odd scene.
It was super weird.
Is there some sort of a euphemism in the whole thing? We'll watch each other's shows.
Well, he did want to watch Gumby, and if you're talking about any show that has a lot of sexual innuendo, Gumby's your show for you. So.
I don't want to read into it.
That was freaky, that show.
I'm just putting it out there.
Well, and then Leonard pops up and is like, oh, you know, I've caught you, $200 each, that's $400. Was Leonard in the back of the car all that time?
Yeah.
The entire time.
What the hell is he doing?
I know.
Now,
well, look.
How does that even work? How do you get into the back of a car without someone knowing that you've opened the door?
How the hell do animals talk? Why do they live in a shed?
What the hell is wrong with this guy? Is he just sitting in the car waiting for Joe to come into the car to watch TV?
Wait.
He's had some sort of a stalker streak.
Within the kind of, you know, screwed up rules of this Ferrell's universe, even then, why would he not wait till they've turned the TVs on? It's so stupid. Wait.
I know. I was watching it going, why would he do that? He's like supposed to be the smartest guy in the show. He's probably the only guy that doesn't consistently get tricked by the most obvious tricks. And then he just doesn't wait until they watch it. Come on. That annoyed the hell out of me, that as well.
Yeah. TV show ruined.
Okay. He takes the TVs. It's like, okay, either they lose the battery, they give him the TVs. Now, they give him the TVs. After telling each other that they've hired them. Did you guys catch that?
Joe goes to Robbie,
did you hire yours as well? They just give him the TVs.
It's like, going to cost the entire $200 in fines.
It's feasible that temporarily they'll go get them back, but it's like, oh no, you can have them. We've hired them, but we'll just give them to you. It's fine.
And by the way, those portable TVs back in the day, so people don't even understand what the hell we're talking about, really. Like, you had these portable TVs. So these days, you don't even have portable TVs anymore, do you, really? Like, I can't even think
you
of
have
like,
tablets. Tablets.
Yeah, exactly. You have tablets, you have phones,
pretty
you have
much,
Netflix
yeah.
on your phones, all that kind of
I
stuff.
I think
so,
you can still get those portable DVD players with a screen, which is kind of
like...
Yeah,
but that was like
the same thing. Player.
That was like
that
3
was like
years.
A different thing, yeah. Yeah.
That was like the in-between.
Yeah, yeah.
Of
yeah.
A portable
that was a
TV
very,
and
very
tablets.
Short period that was popular. Very
Thank God.
Short. But anyway, so these portable TVs, just, you know, imagine your TV, but you could take it around and it was horrible. The battery didn't last for long at all. Like, people whinge about, oh, you know, the mobile phone battery doesn't last for more than a day. These would last like an hour and a half, I think.
Couldn't even watch an entire TV show.
No.
Now,
no.
Luke, Luke,
or a
you,
film for that matter.
You had a Game Gear. How long did the Game Gear batteries last? That was a color portable. That was like 2 hours,
was
maybe.
Crap. And that's what the I was going
to
bring up. So I
had to put. Yeah, well, I'll let you go then.
So this is going into the woe is me. So I always wanted a Super Nintendo, and my mum went to the store. So I think it was for my birthday or Christmas or something. And she went to the store and she asked the store person. So I said, like, very clearly, I think I even made a Super Nintendo out of cardboard at one stage. But anyway, I made it
this
very clear
I want
a Super Nintendo. I love you, Mum, by the way. Mother's Day is coming up as well.
Episode in case it's, you know, we're meant to be live every time we do this. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. By the time it's recorded, I would have not given my mum a present. And this is the reason why, Mum. Anyway.
Don't worry. So I gave her a present instead.
Jeez. So basically, my mum went to the store and asked the... Shut up, man. My mum...
You're a sick bastard, Mike.
My mum went to the store and asked the guy...
That's not
what she said. Just wait. My mum went to the store and asked the guy, hey, my son, it's his birthday. You know, he wants to get a Super Nintendo. Now, this guy was like, no. Sega Game Gear, that's the best thing ever. It's so cool. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking this guy had a million Sega Game Gears in the storeroom. He sold three. He's basically sold out of the Super Nintendo. He's thinking, here we go, beautiful. I remember, when I opened it, I was like,
line?
This is not a Super Nintendo. It was too small. But yeah, Sega Game Gear sucked.
Did you scream or what happened?
But, it did have a TV, like, plug-in thing that you could plug in in the cartridge to make it a TV.
Wow.
I was, like, super keen to get one of those. But do you know how much
they
it was?
They were expensive, though.
$200.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, it was. I remember it really clearly because it was like
you should have.
It was about the
you should
same
have done
price.
This bet.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't
know.
Have had a TV to watch anyway, so you would have won.
I would have just traded it all into cash converters to get a Super Nintendo. But anyway, that was so stupid with the portable TVs. They would have cost a fortune. Like you're basically like breaking the bet anyway. Like honestly, those things, those portable TVs back in the day, they would have cost like $40 a day. So it makes no sense. Like, why would you do that? Anyway.
Can we just agree that the entire show doesn't really make any sense?
Well, this episode in particular. Very much in particular. So anyway, the Ferrell's break...
Hey, hang on. Just quickly on the point of not making any sense. What's up with the fact that the entire episode started with them happily on the couch as a group of friends, as if nothing had happened previously, they didn't get kicked out again? Now, that to me doesn't make sense.
Well, I think that's just the show.
Is that an ongoing thing? Every single episode
they pretty much start from scratch every episode and have the loose running plot line, Joe wants to kick them out. That's pretty much what
right, okay. But and then he completely forgets about it because he's got amnesia for some reason.
Look, I would be so shocked if they change this or I'm wrong.
I'm sure it's the last episode.
Pretty much every single episode... Huh. Is not going to reference anything that ever happened in the previous episodes. So it's just going to reference the fact that the Ferrells live in his shed and he wants them out. That's all true.
We've got to like keep a very close eye to see if there's any continuity in this show. Because remember, there's a continuity expert in the show.
Yes. Well, I think they've already kind of failed. Or they explain it by saying, as we said, there's been months of stuff happening between that we don't know about.
That's right. They're filling in the plot holes in the backstory to give to the voice actors and the puppeteers so they can really act the roles out.
Hey, I wonder, is there any, like, Feral fan fiction? Because...
Jesus, Rule 34.
You mean like...
Rule 34.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yes, there is. There's even porn.
I said fan fiction. I didn't
I reckon
say...
the internet would break if you asked
it had
that.
To be of a sexual nature... No, because you could consider that. If we found any Feral fan fiction, not that we probably could, you could probably consider that part of the, like, extended universe of the Ferals, like they did with Star Wars. Where
Ferals.
If they might, EU. They might do what the... Yeah, the Ferals are you. They probably... It will fill in the gaps between the episodes. What I think we need to do, if it doesn't exist, geez. We need to make our own Ferals extended universe. So essentially we say, okay...
Okay.
The fact that at the end of the Ghost episode, like, Joe hated them, but he was okay with them. We need to write the story that happened in between.
I like this. This has to happen.
That'll be something. We
need to add it and put it out into the universe just to create a Ferrell's extended universe. Just the act of creating it will create an extended universe. I just want that to be in existence in our universe.
But it has to be
PG.
Can we
do what the Avengers
did
and just mix some other characters in?
What was that?
Can we mix characters from other universes as well?
Crossover? No. You got to establish the extended universe first and then have a crossover.
I think you can, but it has to be limited to ABC programs that were on at the same time. If you in this show, they mentioned Play School. They mentioned Big Ted, so Big Ted could be in the extended universe. Doctor Who. They mentioned Bananas in Pyjamas, but I think it has to be an ABC show, an ABC produced show, because then it's more realistic. Right. It's more feasible that they could have existed with the Ferrells. So Big Ted has to be a character. The Bananas in Pyjamas have to be a character. We'll have to look up what was on at the same time. So.
Well, just as a sort of footnote to this, these guys were the same crew that worked on Bananas in Pyjamas. So they have a lot of references to that show.
I did not know that.
Show. Yeah. But by the way, there was one scene because they were like, it ended up being like Robbie was reading the TV guide and reading the TV weekly or whatever it was. As if it was, like, the same as watching TV. But she wanted to watch Play School, was it? It was something really weird. It was like, this made no sense. So much about this episode made no sense, but yeah.
I think the idea is that when you're a drug addict on withdrawals, you'll take anything you can get.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, by the way, another...
scrap of whatever.
Jumping back to the car scene for a second, another rule for kids was Robbie and Joe looked at each other and they're like, oh, as long as no one ever finds out, it's not a wrong thing to do. Did you guys hear that? Because it's not wrong as long as no one knows about it. I'm like, what the hell lesson is
this?
What
is it teaching
kids?
Our kids?
That was the second lesson.
Lost our virginity when we were 15.
I have a feeling that the higher ups in ABC never actually watched this show because I don't, like, there weren't, this was what, early 90s?
Yeah, 94, 95.
Yeah, 94, 95.
Yeah. There weren't that many kind of like shows like this on TV that was pushing the boundaries a bit for humor in a kids' TV show. It was all pretty safe stuff or imports from other countries. And I think that, as you said, you know, the consistent violence, you know, the fact that there's no positive moral lessons so far in this entire show.
At all.
There's no positive moral lessons. There's Everybody's a horrible character, bar probably Leonard.
So. And he's like almost the loser of the show. He always seems to be either, you know, I don't know. He's just, he's set up to be so smart, but he's always the ultimate one who's been tricked or been fooled or, I don't know. But yeah, you're right.
Because
like, there are no lessons.
I thought that Robbie was going to initially be like the good character, but in the last episode, she just screwed with them. And this episode, at the start of the episode, she was just trolling them by, like, changing the channel on them and trying to screw with them. So
it's actually the evil one.
This episode, she doesn't look like a good person in this episode at all, so...
No. I did find one thing funny when the Ferrells were watching TV and then Darren was impersonating the Terminator, like the Dogginator.
The Dogginator.
That did make
that
me
was
laugh.
Awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah, actually, like in that same scene, Raddus says, he's talking about certain shows, and he goes, "How the Stomach Turns," and I'm like, "That sounds familiar." It's an actual show called As the Stomach Turns, but he said How the Stomach Turns, but because I don't think it's an ABC show, they changed it a little bit from As the Stomach Turns to How the Stomach Turns. So it's interesting that they just change a little bit to get around having to, to pay.
Not always, because they did the joke where they go, the show's not called... the show's called Cheers, Not Cheese.
That's true, yeah.
That was weird.
So they didn't mention some TV shows.
It's just
so they either got it...
To pick.
they either got it wrong or they changed it a little bit. So they could have got it wrong. So if they did get it wrong, aha, whoever was in charge of that, because I called you out.
Whoa, geez, 20 years later.
Yeah, so I know.
So we got to crucify them.
When the ferals are in the shed, the TV breaks. What happened? It got pushed over or something. They were probably fighting over the TV. I was actually like almost they tuning out over, at that stage of the episode. It was so boring.
The one thing I liked, I forget, maybe it was when Leonard, I can't remember if it was after they broke the TV, but Leonard goes to give the TVs to Keith and Kylie.
Yep.
And Keith, did you hear his snoring?
Yeah.
He's like, he snores, so it's like...
Oh yeah. I love this guy. I love this Keith guy.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
I want that Keith awesome voice actor to record my voice message. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Kyle. Awesome.
But
leave a message at the beep.
Did you see? Okay, so like the ferals decide to try to steal Leonard's TV, call him up. Say that, oh, we're on a radio show and, you know, if you can spell rodent, you can... Which is so stupid. If you can spell rodent, then you win, rah, rah, rah. What I didn't understand is the three ferals, Mixie, Medigliana, and Darren, go in with, like, little cool sort of disguises on their eyes. What I don't even know what you call them. It's like a Ninja Turtle style thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bandana, mask bandana.
That's because Splinter never wore a mask, so...
But Raddus didn't wear one. What was up with that?
Yeah, because he's like Splinter. Splinter doesn't wear a mask.
Because he's too cool for that. He's different. You know, he's an outcast.
And also because he's too cool, yeah.
Actually, on Mike's point, that might be valid. I never thought about that, because the other ones kind of look like the Ninja Turtles. Anyway, I thought that was...
Did you hear what Raddus said to Medigliana when she was walking past him in that scene?
What did you say?
I can't remember.
He goes, because she was like struggling or going slow. And he's like, Moggy, you're so fat.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. I'm like, that's just so weird. I'm like,
what? That was so, like, just put it down. I mean, she's a bitch of a character, but just go, oh, you're fat. It's like, this show is not good for kids.
I reckon that was just the voice actors playing around with each other. I know that these kind of shows are highly, highly scripted just because there's so much stuff going on. They can't really do much improv stuff. But I feel like that was like, because it was said almost like at the side of the mouth, like I thought that was just the voice actor having a bit of a laugh or something.
Yeah, it was only because I'm like trying to actually pay attention to these little details and I caught it. I think that most people probably wouldn't have heard it. And, you know, take a note. But, that was
bit... I did think about that, and I forgot to write it down, but that did make me laugh. I was like, that's just dark. Like, what the hell?
The part that made me laugh is when Mixie goes that she's got a personally signed photograph of Bugs Bunny.
That was
pretty good.
Well, so ooh, la, la. That's what we're going on to. So, like, the Ferals TV's broken. Joe always wants them out of the shed, so they decide to recreate a TV show that they were watching at the start of the episode called Pay the Price. So, a stupid game show where if you get the answer right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you have to do... Or the other team has to do a dare or pay the price for getting it wrong.
Yeah, it's a dare, it's actually a pretty good idea for a TV show.
So, the structure of it was three of the Ferals, X, Raddus... were on one team.
Who was
the
judge?
If they win, they get a new TV. And on the other team was Joe, Kylie, and Keith. And if they win, Joe kicks the Ferals out of the shed. The bizarre thing with this is that you've got Robbie and Leonard, who are sort of the hosts, adjudicators to some degree, and then the judge is Raddus. It makes no sense. Why would Joe go along with this?
Oh, it
this
makes
so
perfect
stupid.
Sense. Again, it's a life lesson about corruption in our legal system.
I know. That's what I wrote down. Another lesson, corruption. It's so, like,
a lot
the
of
whole
lessons
thing
in
was
this.
Rigged.
By the way, before we get too far into this, I just have to note something that happened just when they were proposing this idea.
Yeah.
And Joe's like, okay, but if you lose, you have to leave the shed or whatever. Robbie goes, it's a bit rough, Joe. And Joe just goes, thanks.
I know, I saw that as well.
Now, that's the kind of Joe that they should have in the show more. That was the Joe that they introduced as from the get-go, the douchebag Joe, the guy was so up himself. But they've just turned him into this moron who's every now and then has these glimpses of being a smart-ass douchebag.
I'm hoping that's just a couple of episodes that does that. I hope they go back to that.
Well, in this
because
episode...
that was an awesome character.
In this episode, yeah. I actually felt sympathy for Joe. So, like, in the final scene, it was totally stacked against him. Well, the final part of the episode, I'm like, this is crap.
I don't know why he'd even agree to that. But again, you know, it's the logic of the show.
Now, you see Leonard? Was Leonard obviously had his hair straightened, so he looked really different.
Yeah,
but did you see he was wearing eyeliner? It was like
what kind of HD version are you watching?
It was some kind of eyeliner that was hard to tell because the video quality is quite poor. But he was definitely wearing something. And I'm like, this is so odd. He looks so weird. And he's got some kind of like smoking jacket or something. I don't know what it is. It's like a Hugh Hefner style jacket or something.
What was so funny was I actually thought, you know, when we started this podcast and I'm like, oh, I've got to try to, you know, be up for the intro. And when he ran out, I thought of myself, like, it was so overdone, so overacted. Just, he was just like... It was like Larry Emder on ice. It was crazy.
Yeah. He was good. I liked him in that scene.
I thought he was funny. I thought, like, you know, he's such a lame character. For me, he's, like, the worst character in the show. Like, that might be harsh, but he's just so annoying.
He's a normal person within a group of complete crazy, over-the-top misfits, including the humans and, you know, the side animals and stuff.
But he's not that normal. He's, like, super smart. Like, he invents these machines. Yeah. Like, how quickly did he invent the... which I'm just going to call it the digital TV monitoring alarm. How quickly did he put that together? It was like they made the bet and he already had it.
It's as if he had it there already, yeah. I know.
Now, during the quiz or the game show, you know how Darren, like, presses a button and then doesn't know what the answer is, even though it's about him?
Yeah.
When Radis goes to ask the second question and he shouts, "Don't touch the button, Darren!" That was probably the highlight of the whole thing because he just shouts at him, "Don't touch the button, Darren!"
I know we've already flagged it earlier, but one of my highlights for this episode is when Radis was coming in. He was like, I don't even know what he was on. I needed to write a note of it. But he was on some kind of like... crane or I don't know what he was presented on. But Leonard introduces him as Professor Radis P. Radis. I'm just like, why?
I know. It's awesome.
It's so bizarre. And it was like a surprise that he was coming out.
You know how one of the, I think it was the second thing that they had to have, like, the first thing they had to eat Brussels sprouts or something from the box.
Paying the price.
And the second was that they had to drink, like, some chili juice. And when Robbie goes to present it, she goes...
Well, that's the last, that was the last one. That was the third one, I think.
Ah, okay. She goes, like, it'll put the heat in your day. And then looks at the camera and then a jingle plays.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was like, dilling. It was...
I thought that was something else. I thought it was my phone or something.
No, it was a little jingle.
So what was it? That wasn't product placement or something, was it?
No, but she was acting as if it was like a product placement. Like it was a Price is Right.
Yeah. There wasn't a product back in like 1994, 95 that had that slogan, was there?
Put the heat in your
I'm an immigrant. I don't remember. I'm asking you guys.
I'm guessing it's probably a play on something. Yeah, you'd have to dig. You'd have to go through all the ads back then.
I just like that.
Can we just kidnap the writer and ask him?
Too much work.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I just thought that, like, little things like that saved the episode from being complete failure for me because it was little shines of brilliance in nothingness. So
yeah,
I don't know. I actually disagree with you guys. I actually really like the episode purely based on the theme. The fact that when you think about what it tries... Like, this is on a serious note, right? I dick around a lot. But when it comes to this particular episode, the fact that it deals with television addiction is really awesome. And the fact that they spin it on its head and they go, hey, it's actually way more fun when instead of sitting there in front of a box watching this shit, you go out there and you create your own stuff. Like, that to me is the big theme that came out of it. And the thing that I got out of this, which I think, I know it's a bit esoteric as an idea, but the issue that we have, you know, in society nowadays is so many people consume crap that others create, a small percentage of people. That I think, you know, I think it's an awesome theme. The fact that it's telling you that you should be creating more stuff, that there's joy and awesome fun in creating your own shit. Yep. Screw you both. No, I'm right.
No, you make some very good points.
You actually make some good points.
You make some good points.
Like,
in short, good episode, good theme.
I get what you're saying, but it's so bizarre that, like, I can see what you're saying. The themes are, hey, kids, you know, you don't need to be watching TV. Hang on, this is a TV show, right? You could turn it off right then and go outside. And then, you know, it's more fun to just go Inception. Do your own thing. Okay, great. But then all these other things, like, make bets with people with large amounts of money, rigging games so that you win and then your opponent loses. And then in that scene, Joe goes to drink the drink. So, like, it's set up as all three, Kylie, Keith, and Joe, need to drink the spicy drink. The other two back out, right? And Joe is like, I'll drink it. Which, on that, it's lauded. So the association with, yes, drinking some, you know, liquid that you don't really necessarily want to drink is a good thing. And then he starts drinking it, and then they're all like, skull, skull, skull. And they're all like cheering that he's doing it. I'm like, this is a kid show. What the hell is this crap? So I get your point.
It's Australian culture at its finest.
It's true. I guess the Prime Minister and former Prime Ministers were just seen doing this recently, so...
Mike, to your point, the concept of the episode was good, the concept.
Yeah.
It was just the way they executed scenes, like the transition scene where they're watching TV and then it changes days to days. It was just it didn't flow properly. And I think
it was a good theme, fairly poorly executed.
Relatively poorly executed. I wouldn't say very poorly.
I said fairly. You're right.
Oh, fairly, okay.
Relatively is probably a better word for it.
And then, you know, the final lesson in this episode was Joe went through and drank the drink, and then Raddus just said, oh, the other team got 2 out of 3 questions, so they've won. Doesn't matter anyway. I was just like, what is this trying to teach people?
And then the episode just ended.
And that was the end. Did you actually keep watching past the credits? Because there was more to the episode after that.
Yeah.
What?
I watched a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't very interesting, but there was more to the end of it. Just Joe setting up the TV for them, because he had to get the TV.
Now...
because he lost the bet.
Could you say that we could give a nickname to Joe of Joe King Lannister? Because he paid his debt. Nah, he was...
That's a good
point. Am I right? Am I right? No, he looked so sad when he was putting up the TV for them.
He did.
You felt sorry for him this episode.
That's what I'm saying. I felt bad for him. And I like the little line where they were like, oh, a little bit more to the left than this. And he's like, hey, hang on there. It was really weird. Yeah. It was actually good acting because I really felt like he was kind of a bit annoyed and he captured the moment really well. It's probably the best acting I've seen in the entire show, to be honest.
What kind of emotional roller coaster is this show? One episode, strange. You hate the guy, then you resent him.
Well, he's a completely different guy, show to show.
Now you think he's just some... it is.
You just wait for the black and white episode where Mixie's the only one in colour.
Black and white episode? Really? What?
Mixie's the only one in colour and they go and they meet Liam Neeson and... You see where I'm going.
Oh, right.
It's an emotional roller coaster of a show. You know, it's going to have some deep themes. Now,
Redis's list.
The credits, right?
Oh, yes, you are the credit master. You need a name.
Yes.
There's only so much you can get the out of these credits, because they're going to be the same every single time.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Robin Williams already?
What?
No, I don't think we did.
Okay, if somebody's listening to this well after we've recorded it, Robin Williams only passed away a couple months ago, like 4 months, 5 months ago or something. So when I saw his name in the credits, I was a little taken aback. But it's like good old Dave Dobbin. They've changed the letter. It's a Robin with a Y. Robin Williams is the production designer.
Well, but I was like, that might
what
be a
is
real
going
person.
On with these credits?
But that might be a real person. Williams is like a massively common name.
Of course it's a real person. I'm not saying it's the real okay. Robin Williams. I'm just trying to find anything I can in the credits. Give me a break.
That was good, though. Robin Williams. You had me.
I'm gonna start stretching because, as I said, these credits are going to have the same exact list of names every time. And there's only so far you can take a puppet doctor.
Puppet doctor. You had the continuity expert. That was good.
I think you picked up on continuity expert. I picked up on Dave Dobbin.
Oh, I'm happy to give you that one. I'm happy to give you that one. You are the credit master.
I'll take it.
So, onto ratings, because that's the whole point of this show, to review the show and rate it. Mike, let's start with you. What did you give it out of 10? 10 couch potatoes.
With me...
Is he asleep?
Out of 10...
He's been
I'm
watching
going
the episode.
I'm going to say... I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10.
Ooh. So, I've written my number down, because I didn't want to be influenced by you. I gave it 3 out of 10. I initially gave it 4, and then I'm like, what am I thinking? This is so crap. Like, I've got to give this 3. So 2's fair though. What
you guys are harsh
critics.
What
did you think, Mike? 8?
I gave it a 6.
6?
Whoa. Jeez. Yep. She liked this.
Jeez. So the quick math.
Yeah, I thought it was a good theme. Also, I'm giving every single episode a 6. But it had a good theme, so.
Are you actually recording these ratings, Luke? Because I can't. All right, good. Because I can't remember what I gave the last one. But no, if I gave this more than a 2, then I'd wonder why. So,
oh, this is significantly below what we've rated things in the past. No, I'm gonna have all the ratings on the website, and maybe I'll put a chart together or something like that. I'll get funky with it. It'd be fun.
Do some fancy graph with, you know, means and averages and some, like, hypothesis theories.
Yeah, or hypothesis.
Hypothesis theories. I didn't say that. That was the connection. Just let me go edit the audio afterwards.
So is there anything that we missed in the show? Apart from a good show?
No, just the part where Mitzi goes, television addiction is a terrible thing. I just love the way she said it.
I was missing
television addiction is a terrible thing.
Now,
she said it to Robbie. I'm pretty sure it was Robbie she said it to.
Did she actually say
that? They were talking about the issue, and then she goes, television addiction is a terrible thing.
Oh, wow. I think
that was at the start of the episode, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
No, I think it was later on. No, probably like 3/4 of the way through. It was before they made their own show, I think, just before that.
The only Mixie-related thing I can remember that we haven't talked about was her singing I Should Be So Lucky by Kylie Minogue.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just weird. That was weird. And then Darren was like really into it, Something weird going on there.
With this episode, one thing I missed is it didn't feel as over the top as the previous two episodes. The first episode has had them playing like a music thing, you know, a whole concert. The second episode had like, you know, it was ghosts, but it was like fake ghosts, but it was like really over the top. This episode just felt a bit mundane. So,
I think
a bit more exciting.
Well, you can't say that they aren't trying to do crazy things. Like, they're really mixing it up, aren't they? Like, they're going, yeah, you're right. Like, from ghosts to having talent quests to having, I don't know, hosting their own show and making bets and teaching terrible lessons.
But the, The game show is very similar to Talent Quest, though.
Yeah, there are similarities, you're right. Yeah.
Without the crowd, it felt like a similar setup, like they were leading up to it. We just didn't have an inkling of it really early in the episode, although I guess you could sit there and go, okay, they're talking about the game show at the start of the episode, they might do their own version. But, you know, the first episode, they're actually talking about the Talent Quest that's coming up. So
that's true.
It felt very similar to the first episode, but not in a bad way. So
That's true. All right, well, if no one else has anything to add, I'm going to wrap it up. And I'll see you all, well, we'll see you all next week for episode 4, Buried Treasure.
Goodbye.
It's going to be an interesting
episode. Say hello to Mum for me.
You bastard.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.